Hello. Thank you for joining us today on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We look forward to the Kingdom of God, knowing New Jerusalem has an integral role to play in the future. Because the government of the Kingdom of God will be based in New Jerusalem with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne to the right hand of God, we know New Jerusalem and all who are there will be righteous. We'll study more about New Jerusalem tomorrow on the Last Great Day. For now, Jerusalem isn't that righteous city with a righteous government. Zephaniah refers to Jerusalem as filthy and polluted and an oppressing city. Instead of being a seat of righteousness, Jerusalem, according to Zephaniah, became an oppressing city that did not obey God, did not receive correction, nor did it try and draw close to God. The religious leaders of Jerusalem are described as spiritually weak and treacherous, who have acted with violence, falsely using the shield of faith to do so. Zephaniah 3, verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He falleth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Because of this, Zephaniah shows how God will treat Jerusalem in isolation and utterly devoid of human habitation. Verse 6. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wake ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. It is when God has the attention of the people who rejected him that he will give them a pure language so that they can call upon the name of the Lord to serve him. And it will make no difference where on earth the people of God are. They will return and serve him. And no more will a connection to God cause people to have swelled egos. Verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Even the poor and afflicted will trust God, as the remnant of Israel does not do iniquity or speaks lies. There will be no more deceit. Verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. through love, God will restore Jerusalem, and this will bring hope and gladness to the people. No more will evil be seen by the people, and all that afflicts the people will be undone. At this future time, God will gather his people together, and these people will be known throughout the world. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Even though the people rejected God by not doing what God expected them to do, and even though God brought punishment to his people, in the end, through love, God restores his people. Today, we will see that love is a defining principle of God, and when coupled with righteousness, we will understand there is righteousness in love, the type of love God has for us. Jeremiah writes that despite all of the troubles with Israel, God will still be the God of all the families of Israel's, so they can be his people, because God has loved Israel with an everlasting love and loving kindness. During the kingdom of God, people will know to go to Jerusalem to be with God. Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. David understood the love of God and knew God would hear his prayers. He understood God would extend mercy to him and provide forgiveness, not only to him, but to all who call on God. David knew God would hear his prayers in good and bad times, and that one day, which we know as the kingdom of God, all nations would come and worship before God and glorify his name. Psalm 86, verse 17. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will forgive thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. When Jesus walked as a man on earth, he understood God and the love God has for each of us. He also knew that the vast majority of people in his presence continued to love darkness over the light because they lived a life of evil. The love that God has for us is not a love of evil. With God, there is righteousness and love, and that righteousness and love is something we must all develop. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In his first letter, John tells us that love is of God, and that God is love. He reminded us that sending Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could have eternal life was itself an act of love. And that if God loved us in such a significant way, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John adds that having love for one another shows that God, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us, that his love is perfected in us. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. John also wrote that there is no fear in love, adding that perfect love casts out fear. If we have any fears, the love that we have is not yet made perfect. When our love is made perfect, we will truly have nothing to fear, not even judgment, because on the day of judgment with perfect love, we will have boldness. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Loving God requires us to love our brothers and sisters also. We cannot claim to love God and hate our brothers and sisters. Hate and love do not mix. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. If we want to see just how much love God has for us, all we need to remember is we are now the children of God, even if we haven't yet become spirit. Because we have this hope of eternal life as the children of God, we purify ourselves because God is pure. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Jesus was sent in love to take away our sins, which is broadly defined to be the transgression of the law. Instead of living a life of sin, we are to live a life of righteousness, because God is righteous. If we want our sins to be taken away and remain away, we have to live this life of righteousness, which includes loving our brothers and sisters. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. If we love God, we will also love our brothers and sisters, knowing that the only thing we will hate is evil, because God hates evil. The fear of God is to hate evil, which by extension includes pride, arrogance, doing evil things, and not controlling what we say. As we love God, we acquire wisdom. The wisdom of God, because wisdom has been with God since the beginning. Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Because God showed his love to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died so our sins could be paid for, we are justified, adjudicated to be not guilty of sin by the faith of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins, we work very hard to remove every element of sin from our life because of the love shown to us by Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This love that God our Father and Jesus Christ have for us makes it possible for us to one day be part of the kingdom of God. Without forgiveness of sin and faith, it would be impossible for any of us to have eternal life. As of and by ourselves, it is impossible for us to give ourselves eternal life. That is a gift that must be given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. How much does Jesus love each of us? While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At one time in our life, each of us was dead in trespasses and sins, living a life focused on things other than the love of God and Jesus Christ. Because God has always wanted us to be part of the kingdom of God, God has showed great mercy and love to us, saving us through forgiveness of sins, with each of us the workmanship of God, showing that God is creating righteousness in each of us. And we have to yield to the workmanship of God and not try to do the work instead of God. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Jesus explained to the disciples that God our Father loved him, and that Jesus in turn has loved each of us, and that we are to continue in the love of Jesus by keeping his commandments, so that the joy of Jesus remains in each of us. Jesus makes it very clear what the commandment of his is we are to keep: to love one another as Jesus has loved us. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That doesn't mean we toss the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament, because we are told in 1 John 5, verse 3, the love of God is to keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We know that God loves us, but having God's love doesn't mean we are free from troubles in this present life. The life that we have is described as a race that we must run, that the best way to run the race of our spiritual life is to abandon sin, so that we are not weighted down. We are told as we run the race that is before us, we look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Having Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith, who loved us so much to lay down his life so that we can have this hope of eternal life, should clue us in that as we look forward to the kingdom of God, we know that even though we will be running the race to our finish line, it is Jesus Christ who determines the exact race course we will run and determines when our race is finished. If we hope to be part of the kingdom of God, we cannot abandon what God and Jesus Christ have put before us, and we must endure to the end. Along the way of our race, we may have difficulties. Those difficulties are not designed to keep us from completing the race to the finish line, but will make us value the finish line once we arrive there. Whatever race course is set before us, no matter how long our race may be, we know that when we get to the finish line and are in the kingdom of God, we will have this peaceable fruit of righteousness. We never stop until we come to the end of our spiritual race in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, and have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. As we run the race that is set before us, knowing the kingdom of God awaits us at the finish line, we know that with us are God and Jesus Christ, who are faithful, who will keep us on the race course, and who will keep us from evil as everything we do is focused on the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. As the children of God, as we run the race that is before us, having received mercy from God, we need to extend mercy to others, showing kindness, humility, meekness, patience, tolerating others, including those who get on our nerves, and forgiving each other, including forgiving each other on those petty small things that grow large in our minds. Everything that we do must be done in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God our Father. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Today, we are a holy people for God, having been given the Holy Spirit. We were not called because we were mighty among men, but because God loved us and knew now was the time to call each of us. We know that God is a faithful God and will show mercy to us and to all who will come after us who do what God expects. Let's read what was said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Love. God's love is bound in righteousness. With God, there is righteousness and love. God is love and wants us to become like him. God wants us to become embodied by love, and as we determine where we might be on the righteousness meter, looking forward to the kingdom of God, we need to consider love. Where is love in our spiritual life? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. God is love. And if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we must have the righteousness of love. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow again on the last great day. Until then, thank you for joining us today.